The following podcast is from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Cartersville, Georgia. Thanks for listening.
If you have a copy of God's Word with you, I want to invite you to find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a chapter of the Bible often called the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to look at one verse here, and then we'll look at several other verses of scripture this morning as I continue in a series of messages entitled, What We Need Now, seeking to encourage our church regarding our future as a church family. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 13, and this morning I'm speaking on the subject of what we need now, faith. Faith is foundational to the Christian experience. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:13 listed it as one of the top three of all Christian virtues. There's a lot that will be said today about college football rankings. If you were to rank Christian virtues, I just say that. I won't say anything else, just moving along. If you were to list Christian virtues, you would find in Scripture that there is a top three list. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, so now faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. So notice that love is number one. Love ranks in the first place of Christian virtue, and that is fitting with Jesus' words and his great commandment when he said the greatest commandment of all is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Indeed, love is the greatest of all Christian virtues, but faith is important nonetheless. To be strong, to be secure in our Christian walk, we need faith. An unwavering trust in God and in his son, Jesus Christ. Faith isn't just something for the initial forays into the faith. Faith is something for daily Christian living. Your daily life should be saturated with a trust in the Lord, a trust in Christ. So this is true individually. This is also true corporately as a people of God, the people called Tabernacle. In order to be the people the Lord wants us to be, in order to be used as he desires to use us, we need a regular confidence and trust in the Lord, in his word, and in his son, Jesus Christ. J.C. Ryle, one of my favorite preachers of the 19th century, said this, in walking with God, a man will go just as far as he believes and no further. His life will always be proportioned to his faith. His peace, his patience, his courage, his zeal, his works, all will be according to his faith. So faith is important in your daily life. Faith is important in this season for our church as we consider going forward and as we consider an important project related to our ministry plan and in relation to our facilities. We need a strong, abiding faith. So the question we have is, what's involved with Bible faith? What's involved with Christian faith? What does it look like for a mere mortal, a human being, to be marked by this top three virtue, faith? Well, let's consider four important realities related to Bible faith this morning. Number one, I want you to note that faith is what brings us into a right relationship with God. This is at the entry point of the Christian life. Faith. Faith is exhibited at the moment of salvation. Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again. You need a spiritual birth in your soul in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Salvation isn't by works, human effort. You need the new birth, and the new birth is marked by faith. Paul said in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. How is one saved? One recognizes that he or she is a sinner. One recognizes that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who lived a sinless life. One recognizes that Jesus Christ is the only just payment and substitute for sin, and one places his or her faith in the God-man, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. Now, as we talk about faith, it's important that we note the nature of saving faith. I've noticed there's a mistake some make. They mistakenly believe that faith is the same as belief. They mistakenly believe that saving faith is just a mental assent to God's existence or even Jesus' existence. This is a mistake. The Bible says in James 2:19, you believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe, and they shudder. Satan and his demons believe in God, and they believe in Jesus. I want to make this point this morning. Faith is what brings us into a right relationship with God, but soul-saving, soul-transforming faith isn't just a mere mental belief. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, the trouble with us is that we have substituted believism for faith. It's important to note that faith is much more than just believism. Instead, biblical faith involves trust. It involves a reliance. It involves a confidence in a person, place, or thing. Saving faith is you are relying on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to save you from sin, hell, and death. Saving faith is all of your confidence in life is not in yourself, it is in Christ and Christ alone. So this morning, as I speak about faith, I would be remiss not to make this point. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Are you still in your sins, or have you had your sins forgiven through Christ? How are your sins forgiven? It is you trusting and relying on the real historical Jesus who lived and died for sins. This is what brings the forgiveness of God to your soul. This is what brings new life to your soul. Faith. I recently read about the missionary John G. Patton, who was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands, in a country that is now known as Vanuatu. I kind of put the phonetic pronunciation out there to help me, but that really didn't help, all right? Vanuatu, that's how you say it, all right. As if anybody really knows about this place and could have corrected me. But anyways, he's a missionary to this island. And when he went to this island, he was trying to think about how to preach on faith. And he was learning the new language, one of the tribal languages, and he wanted to get an idea. How do I express the essence of this saving faith? He was sitting in his office one day in a chair, studying and writing and even thinking about this very issue. And he was sitting in a chair in his office, and about the time he was sitting there thinking about how do I give meaning to this idea of Christian faith, a woman passed by the doorway to his office. And he stopped her and he asked, what am I doing right now? And she said in the native language, you're sitting down. So he took note of that word. And then he leaned back in the chair, balanced himself, stuck his arms out, put his feet on the crossbar of the chair underneath. He leaned, balancing himself, trusting, relying on no support from any other object. And then he asked, "What am I doing right now?" And she gave him a word that roughly translated would mean to lean wholly upon something. To lean wholly upon something. And he said, "That is the word that I will use in preaching about the faith that saves. This is the faith that saves. This is the faith that gives you access into heaven. This is the faith that washes away your sins. You, in your heart, soul, and mind, wholly leaning upon Christ for salvation." Faith is what brings us into a right relationship with God. And as we consider our ministry as a church, and as we consider the future, may we note that this is the message we proclaim. May we say steadfast, may we stay steadfast in this is the message that builds the kingdom of Christ. In Christ alone, rely upon him. Faith in him is what brings salvation. So I ask you this morning, are you saved? Have you been forgiven of your sins? Has there ever been a time in your life where you have placed your faith in the person and work of Christ for salvation? Faith is what brings us into a right relationship with God. Number two this morning, I want you to note that faith is what sustains us in our daily walk with the Lord. Faith is what sustains us in our daily walk with the Lord. Faith isn't just something for the first entry into the Christian life. Faith has a place in all of the Christian life. Some mistakenly believe that faith gets them saved, but then they believe that living the Christian life is all about their human effort and abilities on behalf of God. They say, yes, faith in Christ secured my salvation, but then they live the rest of their Christian life as if it's all up to them. The Bible reveals that the entirety of the Christian life is of faith. In Romans 1:17, Paul made this statement. He said, "The righteous live by faith." You could roughly translate that the righteous person lives by his or her faith. The righteous person, that is, the person that's in a right relationship with God, is living by faith. Paul's words in Romans 1:17 were drawn from Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk said the same thing. The righteous person will live by faith. And then the New Testament authors frequently quoted that statement. Paul quoted that statement in Romans 1:17. He also quoted it in Galatians 3:11. And then the author of Hebrews quoted these words in Hebrews 10:38. As a result of how frequently these words are quoted, some see Habakkuk 2:4 as being the most quoted verse in all of Scripture. So why does the Bible utter these words over and over again? The Bible reveals, and God wants us to know, that the experience of walking with Christ is rooted and grounded in faith. You can't be strong, secure, and satisfied in the Christian life if you don't develop a Sunday through Saturday type of faith. You see, every battle with temptation is overcome through faith. Navigating every trial you face takes place through faith. Facing the testings and tragedies of life only takes place with faith. How do you stand against the world, the flesh, and the devil? It is faith. How do you endure suffering and sickness? It's faith. How do you put up with difficult people and difficult problems in life? It's faith. Faith is what sustains us in our daily walk with the Lord. So I hope, believer, that you learned this secret in your soul. To walk with God and to survive and thrive in this world, you need a steady reliance and confidence in Christ, who he is and what he's done. And then as a church family, if we are going to move forward in the future, and if we're going to be used by God in our generation to shine the light of Jesus, we need a steady, unwavering faith and trust in the Lord. We can't be a people relying on our own abilities and intellect. We need trust in Christ. Charles Spurgeon said, "A little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul." Faith is what sustains us in our daily walk with the Lord. Number three this morning, I want us to consider this idea, this truth. Faith doesn't mean folly or presumption. Some make the mistake of thinking that biblical faith involves a sort of recklessness. They imagine that a faith-filled person is a foolhardy person. We have expressions in our culture that kind of make faith out to be a foolish thing belonging to blind zealots. We speak of a leap of faith or blind faith. So some, in their zeal for faith, indeed shun the need for prudence, planning, and wisdom. But then some, in their zeal for prudence, planning, and wisdom, shun the need for faith. We live in an either-or type of world. American media is built on this type of thinking. And so we sometimes think you've either got faith or you've got wisdom, or you've got wisdom or you've got faith. I want us to see from Scripture that God's people are called to be a people of both wisdom and faith. Yes, in faith, there's always going to be unknown things and unseen things. Hebrews 11:1 teaches us that this is even at the heart of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So by virtue of its very nature, faith sometimes requires us to act without knowing all the details about how things are going to work out. I remember being called to ministry, and by nature, a little bit more introverted. I was really shy growing up. And there was faith involved in following the Lord. I can remember Laura, the first time she heard me lead a Bible study, she wasn't really sure that I could speak publicly. And we were interested in getting married, and I was saying I was called to preach, and we got in the car after I led a Bible study, and she kind of said, "Oh, good, okay, that was better than I thought. That was decent." So I had to have faith to follow the Lord and a call to ministry while there was other things I was planning on at the time. There were unseens and unknowns. So there's often unseens and unknowns with biblical faith. However, this does not discount the need for sound biblical wisdom and planning. So in following the Lord and a call to ministry, there was faith because there were unknowns, unseen, unforeseen types of things. But then I committed myself to training, to preparation, to planning, to working hard. When one studies the Bible, one finds adequate instruction concerning the high value of both faith and wisdom. In fact, in the middle of your Bible, though the Bible calls us over and over again to faith, in the middle of your Bible, you have a section of books called the wisdom literature, Job, Psalms, and the following. And in the wisdom literature, we are continually called to wisdom. Not a blind faith, not a leap of faith, as the world would say, but faith that also pursues sound biblical wisdom and stewardship. The proverb Solomon said, Proverbs 24:3, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. Solomon upheld the place of biblical wisdom in the Christian life. Yes, we're called to faith, but we're called to pursue wisdom as well. Jesus spoke concerning these same things and talking about the demands of discipleship on the Christ follower's life. He said in Luke 14:28, which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Why do I share these things? Well, I want us to see that there's a need for both faith and wisdom in the Christian life, and these two things do not contradict one another. We trust the Lord with unknowns. We trust the Lord with the unforeseen future. We trust the Lord by stepping out boldly when we're required to step out boldly in life. But all along the way, we're walking humbly with Him, seeking wisdom, aiming to be prudent, and desiring to be good stewards of our resources. Now, this is required in managing your own household. This is required in your marriage and in your parenting. This is required in your walk with the Lord. This is required in your vocation. But this is required for us as a church as well, as we consider this project. You know, as a Baptist church, we believe in congregationalism, and the congregation is involved in major decisions. And next week, we'll have a vote as a church family to affirm, to move forward in this project. Over the past few years, there has been a lot of planning, a lot of praying, a lot of working, a lot of strategizing. Yes, bold faith, but yes, your committees and groups who recommend you, who represent you, have been seeking after biblical wisdom all along the way. Our building committee has put together a bold plan for facilities on this end of the campus to replace facilities that need to be replaced. It's a bold plan. It's a faith-filled plan, but it's not an unreasonable plan. In fact, at one point along the process, we brought the plans to key leaders and then felt the need to step it back in order to be more wise with our resources. Likewise, our finance committee is trusting the Lord regarding the generosity of His people. They've put together a strong, bold plan for funding this project, but it's not a foolish plan. We believe it's a wise plan. So this is important for me to share this morning. I feel we need to see that faith doesn't mean folly or presumption. I want to call us to bold faith, but I want you to be aware as well that we are seeking to manage the Lord's resources wisely and to entrust ourselves to His timing. So I want to do something that I don't often do in the midst of a sermon. I want to ask one of our people who's been working close to this project to come share with you a little bit concerning our financial plans, just as a church body, to communicate that we're seeking to be wise and to give you some important information. So Trey Jordan is the chairman of our finance committee, and he's coming at this time to share some important information that underscores this point.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, church. We've been listening this morning that faith is not folly or presumption, but necessary. And applying wisdom and faith in the course of this project has been our goal and our continued goal. We have a motion before the church at this time that we will vote on next Sunday. So, but wanted to make you aware, you have it in your bulletin also. There's a leaflet in there. There is a typo on the, it says December 13th. It's actually the 3rd. That's today, 12:15, immediately following this service. We will have another listening session, followed by the final listening session this coming Wednesday at 5. But want you to know that this motion, that Tabernacle Baptist moved forward with a proposed replacement of its A and B buildings with a proposed project cost at a cost which will result in a permanent loan not to exceed $5.4 million. That is the motion that we have before us now, that the Finance Committee, deacons, and staff are in unanimous support of. So our tithes and offerings are regularly published in our bulletin, if you've noticed those in there before. And you may have noticed that we're behind our targeted budget, and I think that's the operative word there, but we're managing to our actual expenses. So to put that simply, we are not spending more money than we take in. And I know that's a novel idea this day and time, but we're not spending more than we're taking in. In fact, I think it's important to note that fiscal year to date, so from August 1st until November 26th, this past Sunday, that giving is actually up from last year, a little over $17,000. Even though we're behind our targeted budget, we're managing to expenses, and we're actually up in giving a little bit over that period of time. So we have a cash flow plan in place for this project. I don't think Pastor's going to give me 30 minutes to go over the spreadsheet, but I promise you it would be worth your time to come down to one of the listening sessions either this afternoon or Wednesday evening would be your last opportunity for that. So faith is needed. So next Sunday when we have a vote, if you vote yes, it's not a vote that we're just excited. I think everybody's excited about a building project, an opportunity to see something new. But if you do vote yes, that we're pledging that we have the faith to see this project through financially as well. So thank you, Pastor.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that, Trey. I appreciate all the work Trey and others have done. I think I shared this last week. Many times as we're in meetings, it's just a thing of beauty to see the way the Lord uses our different members and all of their gifts. So thankful for that. And thankful that as we seek to be people of faith, we have leaders in a church body that has such bold faith, but then we have a church body that's also concerned for biblical wisdom and stewardship. And so we're pursuing both of those virtues all along the way, faith and wisdom. Let's lastly this morning look at this idea concerning Bible faith. I'd like to share with you that faith is required for the Lord to do great things in our midst. When God does great things, there is a presence of great faith amongst the people of God, a radical trust in the Lord and His promises is often the mechanism by which the saints of God attempt and accomplish great things for the Lord. There's a story in Scripture, Mark chapter 9, about a man. He's got this demon-possessed son. The man's given over to anxiety concerning the state of his son, who repeatedly throws himself on the ground in fits of rage. Jesus' disciples were unable to help the man, and the man was at his wits' end because he had heard reports about Jesus and thought, surely this Jesus will be able to help my son. But the disciples proved ineffectual. Jesus used all of these things to teach a lesson on the importance of faith. And Jesus taught about faith. He used this man as an object lesson of faith because he knew his disciples had a degree of faith, but they didn't really have strong, abiding faith. Peter and the others were doubting. So Jesus used this quaking, anxious father to teach a lesson on faith. And Jesus asked the man, "Do you believe?" The man humbly said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." And it was to this man that Jesus said in Mark 9:23, "All things are possible for the one who believes." Now, Jesus' words were meant to underscore the priority, the prominence, the place of faith and the Christian experience. As we attempt to walk with God and be a light for Jesus in this world, we need faith. As we attempt to be the men and women the Lord wants us to be in our marriages, we need faith. As we attempt to be the people God wants us to be for our children, our grandchildren, and our families, we need a continual trust in the Lord. As we seek to stand against a world that is going the way of the evil one, it seems, we need a rock-solid faith and trust in God and His Word and in the person and work of Jesus Christ. As we together as a church seek to minister the gospel to this community, and as we seek to provide resources we need for discipling our youth, the next generation, we need faith, a trust in the Lord. Our eyes can't be on the world. Our eyes can't be on ourselves. Our eyes need to be on Creator God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We need to pray for a strong faith in the providence and provision of the Lord. We need to be like that humble dad regularly crying out in our prayer times, "We believe, help our unbelief." We need faith that the Lord can provide streams in the desert. We need a trust that where there is a valley of dry bones, the Lord can bring living bodies, Ezekiel's vision, living bodies to worship the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said, "Christian men and Christian women, mark well this fact, that the characteristic of the person whom God will bless is that he believes and acts upon his belief. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, but the man of faith is God's man." And faith has been evident here at Tabernacle Baptist over the years. In the 1940s, there was a group of members at Tabernacle who saw a need for a new facility. We had a church building that had sawdust floors. And our congregation sensed the need for a new building, and as they considered what type of building we would have, they had bold faith that we could build a brick sanctuary. Bricks, that was a big deal considering the structure we had before with exterior walls of wooden plank boards. If you know the story, there was a local hardware store that supplied bricks, and church members had the opportunity, were invited to go to that hardware store and personally purchase bricks that would be delivered here during the construction. I can remember when Senate Wilson, one of our longtime members, was still alive. He told me of how proud he was of his father, who, though not a member here and though not one who outwardly lived a Christian life, his father went and purchased bricks to have delivered to the Tabernacle Baptist Church. Church members had a personal and corporate faith that the Lord could provide and build a building that would be used for worship, for proclaiming God's word for years. And oh, how thankful we are for their faith and for the Lord's goodness. Think of all the sermons that were preached, all the truth that was proclaimed, all the souls that were saved, all the lives that were changed, preachers that were called to ministry, missionaries who were sent. Think of how the kingdom of God was built through faith. I remember hearing from, we can go ahead and take that quote down, please. I remember hearing from one of our members the story of how when that construction first started, that the church dug a hole in order to pour the walls for the basement of the church. And after they dug that hole, the word got around town. People saw the hole being right downtown here, and the word got around town. The joke was Tabernacle Baptist has dug a hole that they'll never get out of. But the people of God had faith. They pressed on. They had a vision in 1944, and that vision came to fruition, and the building was completed in 1947. And we know how, because of faith, for years, right here at the corner of Tennessee and Church Streets, there has been a bright, radiant witness for Christ. There's been gospel preaching, Bible preaching. There's been a missions and evangelism emphasis because of the faith of the people of God. So faith has been required for Tabernacle to be where it is today. A question is for us to move forward into the future, for us to continue to be used by the Lord until Jesus returns, will we have faith? Are we willing to express confidence in Christ and what he can do? Are we willing to trust him with unknowns and unforeseen things? Do we have a faith, the type of faith that marks people who are used by the Lord to leave a legacy for the next generation? Let's pray that the Lord would give us a great faith that believes great things from God and expects great things from God.
For more information, visit us online at tabernaclebaptist.org. Thanks for listening.